And good afternoon, it's Rod McClure here, and I've got Bento with me, and we're here for another health chat, which is running slightly late because of a mix-up.
Oh, we let's just say this is the month of July 23, and it's been a bit of a chaotic month. So let's finish it with some more chaos.
Well, we certainly managed that.
We're doing good. We got together, so we managed to do this month, so we'll put that as a plus.
We will put it as a plus.
Yeah, no.
Well, diabetes.
Yeah, so... I had a little bit of diabetes. Not too bad, is it? I would probably say, there's nothing, no such thing as a little bit of diabetes.
You either have it or you don't.
Yeah, even that one can be a bit of... because it can take time to develop. And probably what we're really going to focus on is there's several types of diabetes. You have type 1, which is actually an autoimmune disease and which you can't control. So that's the one you're most likely see in childhood, but it can happen, of course, any time through your life.
Okay.
So that's the one where we need insulin. There's no way back. There's no other treatment. We don't know exactly why it happens, but it's one where it doesn't matter whether you have too much weight, too little weight. It has nothing to do with how you live your life. It's an autoimmune disease. We can't control that one.
Okay.
The one that we have a little bit of ability to do something about is type 2 diabetes.
Right.
Then, of course, we also have gestational, so the ones women can get during pregnancy, which is a different thing again. But the thing we will really talk about today is the type 2, which is the one that's more related to lifestyle.
Okay.
So what is it like? So it is a condition where your body just does too much sugar running around the system. But why? And it's because over time, if your body is constantly getting pushed, it can't make enough insulin, or the body can't figure out using the insulin well enough to manage all this sugar.
Okay, and sugar's in a lot of things.
It is. Well, it's not as much. It's not just the sugar you eat, it's the diet you eat and what it turns into in your body. So there's more than just sugar.
Okay.
Because the body can turn all sorts of things into sugar.
Oh, okay.
So there's a whole heap of other processes there that's part of it. So you're not just going to look at all the sweets in your diet. You're going to look at your diet all over with the fats in it, with the alcohol you drink. All that stuff is part of it.
Okay.
So it's really just not sugar that is the problem. It's part of it.
Right.
But it's also our very refined diet. All the processed foods we can get today, they are all part of that whole bigger picture.
And when we say processed food, is that sort of talking about, preserved meats or...?
Yeah, it's preserved meats. It is all your deep-fried stuff, that too. That's part of that picture. What you've got to get back to is your good old-fashioned vegetables, and everybody's going to probably roll their eyes now.
Yeah.
But that is where we need to eat our vegetables. We need to eat our fruit. Don't juice it. Eat the whole thing, get it with all the fibers that comes with the meat and the fruit.
Okay.
Because if you juice it, like you can easily drink the juice of 3 oranges, but you try and eat 3 oranges whole, it gives you a completely different feeling in your stomach with the sugars that comes naturally with the fruit.
Okay.
So
the roughage that's actually in the fruits or vegetables is very important to a person.
Yeah, because that's the fibre that helps fill you up so you're eating less.
Oh, that's a good way to look at it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's why you need vegetables, you need legumes, so like beans and that. You need the whole fruit, not just the juice of it. You need it all to really fill you up properly and to make your guts work.
And you definitely need Brussels sprouts.
Yeah. Oh, right. I wonder how many funny faces we got on that one.
Oh, I think there's people going yuck all over Braidwood and its surrounding area. I think I'm the only person in the world who actually likes them.
Yeah, well, I think it's got... I actually think there's something genetic to that. I don't hang me on it, but I have a vague recollection there. But it could be completely faulty, and I haven't looked it up, so don't ask.
Okay, we won't go there.
No, we won't go there. Okay, anyway, the problem with these high sugar levels in your body is that... it can give you complications long term with that. If you have too much sugar going around, it starts affecting your nervous system, your blood vessels, all of that can get affected. So that means that you can go. This was something that was really interesting when I was reading through the data today. One of the most common causes of blindness in people who are still in their working part of their life is diabetes.
Really?
Yeah.
That's staggering.
Yeah. I was like, oh.
Yeah. Well, I've just gone all.
Yeah, yeah. So that's just sort of one of the things. Anyway, like, so you have people with diabetes, so they either their insulin, they're not producing enough, or they can't use it well enough. So, and that's because that's what's called insulin resistant. Like, it's like the insulin can't open the doors in the cells to get the sugar in because there's been so much sugar that this whole thing is just going, can't be bothered.
Right.
And but then your pancreas, a fantastic organ, they will keep producing more, but you're burning the cells out if you have to make more insulin to make everything work. And that's why eventually, like, people say, how do I suddenly develop type 2 diabetes? Well, it wasn't suddenly. Your body has been fighting this maybe for several years,
right,
before you see the problem.
Okay.
And that's why having regular health checks, checking, particularly if there's already diabetes in your family of the type 2, keeping an eye on it. And even if there's not, because there's several other health factors we'll talk about that can be indicators or risk factors for type 2 diabetes. And they're becoming more common in our population today. So.
Okay.
So there's a whole heap of things there that we got to be aware of with the type 2. And also, what's some also people saying, like, how do I know if I have it? So there's some symptoms we can look out for. It can be more thirsty than usual and passing a lot more urine because, like, what the kidneys do is they're going to say, well, we're going to get rid of all this sugar, so we're flushing it out. But they need water to do that. And that's why you will have people, when they get diagnosed with diabetes, you'll often find they're really thirsty, they're drinking a lot of water, and they're peeing a lot. And it's the body's way of trying to get rid of it.
Okay.
So that's one thing. You can be more tired and lethargic, but let's face it, there can be many other reasons for this. So it's... Yep. Not necessarily diabetes. So That's why you need to have a doctor to look it over and actually find the cause.
Okay.
Some people will always feel hungry because, like, you're eating food, but the body can't use the sugar. So it's saying, give me more, give me more.
Right.
So that's another thing to be aware of. And again, you might have cuts that doesn't heal very well because, again, too much sugar slows down wound healing.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so it actually messes with that. So again, so that's and you're a higher risk of skin infections. So there's all these things. Then you can, and you're more likely, because of all the sugar that the body's trying to get rid of, that leaves you more liable to get urinary tract infections.
Okay.
Because there's now food for the bacteria in the urine.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yep. Your vision can be affected, as saying it can get blurred. Again, as we talked about, blindness, mm-hmm, in the working age population, most common cause is diabetes. So it's affecting your vision. You can also get some unexplained weight loss, again, because even though you're eating, your body can't utilize it. So,
all right.
But it can also be, and that's particularly for type 2, you can gradually be putting on weight because you're eating a lot more, but it's not getting utilized properly. Okay. And these, the next ones here is really like, it could be a million other reasons, mood swings, headaches, feeling dizzy, leg cramps. They have so many other causes that's just one of a whole picture. And that's why we need to have things properly investigated. Okay. So that's sort of this whole thing around type 2 diabetes. The way to diagnose the type 2 diabetes is that we'll actually, it's a specific blood test you have with your doctor. For short, it's called HbA1c, which stands for hemoglobin. I can't even remember it now. Had one of those days.
Yeah.
But I know the letters that I'm going to look for.
Okay.
And those tests will give us an idea about how high your sugar levels have been running for the last 3 months. And that's why you need to have this blood test done by your doctor so that we can see, has it been running too high? Is it okay? Where are we at?
Okay.
So that's why this blood test is really important. So you can't really diagnose until you have this test done. Now, with type 2, you usually will... Age is unfortunately a risk factor. So all of us, when we get old enough, has higher risk.
Right.
Which is something that's hard to do anything about. Family history, again, that one you can't change. And if you first have had a diabetes diagnosis... You can get it to go in remission if you do the right things, but you always have to be wary of that. If you don't keep doing it, you can go back to getting it.
Okay.
So that's sort of the things that happens around type 2 diabetes. And if we talked about it, can really develop over a long period of time because your body keeps compensating for this. I can't quite produce enough insulin. I can't quite utilize my insulin well enough and be resistant to it. So that's where this distance, so that you may think, well, I'm okay and I'm well now. Yes, I have a couple of risk factors, but I might be fine. Yeah, you might be fine now, but how's it going to look in 5-10 years' time? So that's why if you have some modifiable risk factors, you should start doing something about them. Mm. So what we've got to look at is weight, which seems to be one of these many things we keep coming back to, that you've got to manage your weight. And there's something with that: if you lose 5-10% of your weight if you're overweight, that will actually significantly reduce your risk of getting diabetes.
Just 5-10%?
Yeah, so like if we're saying, well, you're overweight by 10 kilos and you are 90 kilos and you lose 10%, which is 9, you're significantly reduced your risk factor. So.
Hmm.
So there's things there that we can look at, and that again comes down to diet, but also if you're a couch potato, you're more likely to develop diabetes, so you've got to get out and move. And like we don't have to do marathons. We don't have to be working out like mad. It can be as simple as starting with a short walk and build up to what your tolerance levels are. But you need to get out and move in order to keep the weight off. And because when you move, your muscles are using the sugars. So you're actually utilizing what you have eaten. Because if you're putting more fuel on the system than what's needed, it's going to store it somewhere. Mm. So you need to utilize it.
Okay.
So that's really important. And then what we're really going to talk about is prevention, because prevention is the best cure.
It certainly is.
Yeah. So it's maintaining that healthy weight, being physically active, looking at your food choices. So that means trying to bypass the lolly aisle, the biscuit aisle, the soft drink aisle, and probably also the grog shop. If you can do that, you're halfway there.
Mm.
Because we really got to look at what we're putting into the system. You also got to manage your blood pressure, which is again got something to do with staying physically active, eating a healthy diet. You got to manage your cholesterol levels, and smoking is also a risk factor for diabetes.
It's often quoted as...
Yeah, well, it's sort of like all those metabolic diseases, smoking is a risk factor. So that's your high blood pressure, it's your heart disease, it's your diabetes. All that is part of it with smoking, unfortunately.
So it's a perfect storm.
It is, if you're starting to connect all those together. So risk factors, the ones that you can't really do anything, as we talked about, that's the age, it's your family history. It can also be your ethnicity, so where you're from. So it's unfortunately Aboriginal, Torres Strait Islanders are at higher risk, Pacific Islanders, people from the Indian subcontinent, and also some of those from Chinese cultural backgrounds, they have higher risk of developing diabetes. And it can also be if you as a female have a history of gestational diabetes. So there's those things too. Now the ones, as I said, we can do something about is excess weight. And what we're particularly looking about is not just weight, but it's also what your circumference is around the midsection. And that's actually a really important one for diagnostic purposes. So where we are measuring is sort of midway between the hips and the bottom ribs, so around where your navel is.
Mm-hmm.
And for women, they should preferably be less than 88 centimeters, and I think men has about 95 they're allowed to go up to. Above that, we really got to start doing something about that midsection to try and lose some weight on that, because all that fat that sits around there is the ones that's giving the problems often.
Okay.
So that's why, because you can have people who has quite a high weight, but because they of what they're doing, the way their muscle mass is distributed, for them, it's not an issue carrying the high weight, because then if you do that midsection measurement, they might still be within range. So everyone is different. Again, smoking we can do something about. High blood pressure, again, you can, by exercise, help bring that down. And again, look at your cholesterol level. Some of it can be familiar, but it can also have something to do with your diet. And then, of course, unhealthy eating habits. And often, like, people were saying, but I'm eating my three meals a day and I'm trying to get vegetables and I'm trying to have fruit. Yeah, that's great. We need to look at serving sizes, so use maybe a smaller plate. And then what you really are going to be looking at is all the discretionary food. So that is what other little things sneaks in on the sidelines in between meals.
Mm-hmm.
And plenty of water to drink. So I would say if you're feeling snackish and hungry, have a glass of water to start with before you eat anything, because half the time what your body's actually trying to tell you is it just wants some fluid.
Mm. Okay.
So that's a starting point with that one. So that's really the important bit. And then, of course, exercise. And as I said, don't get all enthusiastic, but do something. So like 30 minutes a day, at least 5 days a week.
Which isn't a lot of time.
No, and it's just a matter of setting your mind to that I'm going to do it and make room in your day for it.
Mm.
And if you're just sitting around watching television anyway, well, get out and go for a walk.
It's our lifestyle in the 21st century doesn't do us any favours, does it?
No, because we go and we sit in our car and we drive to the shop. We sit back in our car, drive home.
Mm.
So I'll say, if you can say, well, it only takes me 15 minutes to walk down there, well, why am I not walking?
Mm.
Well, if you have a big grocery shop, yes, it can make sense. But if you're just going to get a couple of items, go for a walk.
Mm.
And it's just working that into our everyday.
Mm.
There also exists online a diabetes risk calculator, that an Australian one that you can pull up, and where they simply go through and saying, so what is my risk and what type of questions? So I thought it would be nice just to go through and look at what questions are asked, because that will also tell people what can be risk factors. So again, age is an issue. The older we get, the higher the risk, unfortunately. Again, we can't modify it, but we can at least be aware of it.
Yeah. Mm.
Unfortunately, you're sex, so males are more likely to get diabetes than females.
Mm-hmm.
But again, we've got to look at how we're living. Your ethnicity, so are you of Aboriginal, Torres Strait Islander or Maori descent? So that's something to, again, unfortunately, these people are more likely to get diabetes, which is sad, but that's how it is. Where you were born, so that can have some influence too, as to where you're coming from, and also if anyone in your family have had type 2 or type 1 diabetes for that matter, that's a risk factor too. So that's all the things that we can't modify. Now, if you know whether you've been found to have high blood sugars, for example, in a health examination or during an illness or during pregnancy or anything like that, that's a risk factor. So that's something you would, if you have had that, could tick yes to. So just one thing to be aware of. And that's why we don't just do like a finger prick test and look at what is your current sugar level in your blood, because that varies a lot through the day. If you have just eaten, it will be high.
Mm.
But if you haven't eaten for several hours, it will be lower.
Low. Mm.
So that's why we can't quite use that as a guide.
Mm.
Where if you've actually been diagnosed with high levels, that's a different story. If you're taking medication for high blood pressure, that's a risk factor, again, because you have high blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Smoking. And then do you eat vegetables and fruit every day? Really important. And as we talked about, eating the whole thing. And again, regular exercise, so about 30 minutes, 5 days a week at least.
Okay.
So that's the risk factors. And then we come to the last one. What is the circumference of your waist? And in that, for women, it is less than the 88, and for men, it is less than around the 95 centimetres mark. So that's the ones just to be wary of. And then this calculator can then give you a risk calculation and saying this is where you are at, but that doesn't mean that you're going to be complacent, even if you get a low risk factor.
Mm-hmm.
And again, healthy eating, I don't think we can stress that enough, but it means going back to basics, and it can be something basic. If you can't cook, we'll try and learn how to start using recipes. Use simple ones. Don't go nuts and try and do the three-star complicated ones. Do the simple ones. Learn how to use all the legumes and good things to fill you up.
Mm.
So that means like not just the white pasta and the white rice, but try to use something like chickpeas and brown rice and wholemeal stuff. Like white bread is a no-no. You've got to have wholemeal. You've got to have something with grains in. So all that type of stuff is what we're going to start looking at, what we are eating. And again, avoid all the fried stuff, all the fast food, the more preserved food. I'm sorry, a few people will cry when I say cut back on the bacon and that type of stuff. It's okay to eat eggs.
Yes, eggs have had a checkered history.
Yeah.
They're back in favour at the moment.
Yeah, they're back in favour at the moment.
Okay.
So that's sort of the main thing, just very basic around diabetes, that it is a sneaky disease, particularly type 2, and it's not something that happened overnight. It is actually your body has been compensated for so long that it can't do it anymore. So lose weight if you're overweight. Keep exercising.
Okay. All right, Benta. Well, that was very, very informative, and I'm sure our listeners have gained a lot from it. And the month of July is
now running off.
It's now running away.
Yeah.
And we'll be back next month with another health chat.
We will. Thanks, Rod.
Okay. Thank you, Benta.